And welcome to the show, everyone. Happy Sunday. For those of you who are brand new listeners, I'm your host, Dr. TJ Williams. With me, as always, is Erin. Hi, Erin.
Hi.
So sometimes she's talkative, sometimes she's not so much. We never really know. The objective of this show is to provide common sense, science-based strategies for a healthy life. And today we're going to be discussing the topic of vitamin D, the all-important vitamin D, one of our four fat-soluble vitamins. It's very, very useful. We're going to be talking about what it does, why it's so important. But I want to start off by talking about how little we actually have of it as citizens in this country. Pretty much the majority of the country is deficient in vitamin D. The national average for vitamin D in this country is 27. The medical lower limit for vitamin D deficiency is 30. So our national average is deficient.
Right. Well, and research shows up to 90% of adults in the United States are deficient in vitamin D.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's of the entire population. Well over 95% of the elderly population are deficient.
Right, right. And luckily, a lot more doctors and physicians, they're being a lot more proactive, and they're starting to take vitamin D deficiency pretty seriously. You know, I remember actually, I mean, I've been in practice long enough. I remember when the lower limit for vitamin D deficiency was actually a vitamin D level of 20. They've actually raised that up 10 points. Hasn't really done a lot.
Right, except if there are more prescriptions written for
vitamin D.
This point. I mean, that's really all that happens.
Which, you know, for those of you out there who are taking a prescription vitamin D, good luck with that, because it's not really absorbable. Vitamin D is not absorbable really very well in a tablet form,
no.
At least in the way that they're delivering it.
So the thought behind it is good, but it's not really helping. And I think it gives a lot of people a false sense of security.
Right, right. I actually had a patient here. Oh, it's probably been a couple of weeks ago now. They came in, maybe even a little longer than that, and their vitamin D was like 32. I don't know. It wasn't very much above deficient status. And I saw on their list of supplements that they take that they take one 50,000 IU tablet of vitamin D a week. And I noticed out to the right, we always ask, how long have you been taking that? And out to the right, they had been taking that for 10 years. And I said, have you missed a dose in 10 years? And they're like, man, maybe one, but I'm pretty religious with it. I said, so you're telling me that you've taken one dose and you're a week for however many years and you're barely above deficient status? And they looked at me like I had three heads. And I said, I'm sorry, but if you're my patient and we take on your case and we don't have your vitamin D level up to about 75 within the first 2 to 3 months, I will consider myself an absolute failure.
Right. Well, part of that is the standard by which they're going, because the medical community generally will look at it and say, well, you're not deficient, so it's doing its job.
Right.
Period. We're done.
Right. Unfortunately, the benefits that you get from vitamin D, you have to have vitamin D levels far, far higher than their pitiful little lower limit of vitamin D.
Yeah. And one of the important things about vitamin D, or one of the things that I think is important for everyone to know, is that you'll actually feel a difference. You know, there are a lot of vitamins that you might be deficient in and you don't notice it for a while. Vitamin D is one that can actually make you feel better, make you function better. And so I think that it's one that, you know, you should be kind of proactive about making sure that you have enough and have over what the minimum level is.
Right, right. If we're just striving for minimum, we're not going to get very far in this in this debate. That's part of the problem, I think, with health is, you know, all we're doing is we're setting minimums. We're not setting optimums. We're setting minimums.
Right.
And as long as all we're doing is setting minimums, then we have a problem. That would be I guess that's not true. We do set a minimum speed limit on the interstate. But for the most part, there's not a minimum speed limit.
Right.
We have a maximum speed limit that you don't go over. Well, we should have that kind of level. Unfortunately, we don't have a way to to measure optimal for everyone.
Well, and it's a good point, because I think that, you know, vitamin D, while most people aren't having to worry about being, you know, over a certain limit, that is a concern.
Yeah.
You can be too high in vitamin D. And so what I think is shocking, too, is you have people who have been put on a vitamin D, a prescription vitamin D supplement for years. And a lot of times they've had very little follow-up blood work. And so while it's not a huge concern, because we know that those prescription, the prescription
worthless.
Vitamin D doesn't do much.
Worthless.
But what if it did? Then,
right.
I mean, to think that that makes absolutely no sense, because if they actually believed it was working, shouldn't they be checking to make sure that you're not toxic in vitamin D?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I know that in, you know, at the Institute, you check.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I remember the first time we checked mine, I was at like 7 or something.
I think you were 11.
Yeah. Something like, I mean, but low. I mean, and, you know, even medically low.
Right.
But it took very little time, and you're like, okay, we need to slow down on the vitamin D.
Right, because we got you at about 110, and we just backed off a smid.
And when you are taking a good quality vitamin D supplement, it doesn't take long to get you back up.
Nope, 3 months maximum.
Yeah.
If you're not at optimal levels in 3 months, you've got the wrong product, or you're not taking anywhere close to enough. So another thing that is kind of important, not really shifting gears, but kind of, is that, you know, most adults we believe that they're somewhat deficient in vitamin D. But what a lot of people don't realize is that people with dark skin who live in northern regions of the world, and this is northern regions is defined differently by a bunch of different people. I kind of fall on the bandwagon of defining north as the imaginary line that connects the cities of Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix. If you live north of that, which is, I don't know, roughly 90% of the country, because, you know, we forget about Alaska up there, and it's got a large landmass, you're likely in that what would be considered northern region of the country. But people with darker skin pigments, people who live in northern regions of the world, and those who are overweight have an even greater chance of being deficient. Think about that for a second. How many people do we know that are dark-skinned and or overweight? Well, I don't know the exact population of dark-skinned in this country, but I can tell you that the overweight population is at 2/3. So 2/3 of the population, just right off the bat, regardless of skin color, is going to be at risk of being more deficient in vitamin D.
Right. But I also think that this is something that's really important for anyone who does have darker skin color, knowing that, you know, more than 90% of those with darker skin pigments have a vitamin D deficiency.
Right.
And this is something that, you know, I mean, we talk about a lot of things on this show that, you know, you'd have to come in, you know, IV nutrition is really important, and it, you know, is great if you can come in a number of times. Vitamin D supplements are something that, you know, it's pretty easy to give you a quality vitamin D supplement, and it's, you know, I mean, it's something that if you are deficient, there's a cheap, easy fix as long as you're taking the right supplement.
Right kind. It's the form matters.
Yeah.
What you're getting matters.
So if you're going to choose something to have an issue with, vitamin D is not a bad one. It just, you've got to know it and fix it.
Right. And yeah, going to most typical, you know, Walgreens, Walmart, places like that, and buying a vitamin D supplement, it's likely not going to do you a lot of good anyway, unless you're taking the whole bottle at a time.
Right. We do not recommend.
Yeah, no.
Because it's got a whole bunch of other fillers and things
and
that you don't want in there.
Garbage that you don't want.
So, I mean, I think that's a really important point, because a lot of people are hearing about vitamin D deficiency and they're like, okay, I probably do need to supplement. But the quality of the supplement, the type of supplement, is extremely important.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, for those of you out there, I know our listeners are trying, and I know a lot of people are trying, because that's one of the most common supplements that people are taking when they come to our office and say, hey, can you help me with whatever they have going on? That's one of the most common ones that is written down as something they're taking.
Yeah.
Is at least vitamin D.
Right.
And, you know, at least they're trying. I help them with form and tell them, you know, look, we need to switch from this to this over here. But at least they're giving an effort.
Right.
And that speaks volumes.
Yeah. But, I mean, those of you who think that you may have an issue with vitamin D, or you're currently on a vitamin D supplement, vitamin D, the, you know, running the test to see if you're deficient in vitamin D is very inexpensive. And the supplement that, you know, the one that we typically use in the office is not expensive. I mean, so this is really an inexpensive fix. Just come in and get tested, find out, and get on a correct supplement. you know, there will need to be, you'll need to be monitored somewhat because we can't have you get too high. But really, this is something that can be easily fixed.
Very easily fixed. You know, we in all the years I've been doing this, I've had one person, one, that had a vitamin D level greater than 150. That's where the I found out that's where the test stops. That's the highest that they measure
is
150.
That's not good though, right?
No, it's not good. This person had a couple of little things going on, nothing too major, but we just like, well, let's check your vitamin D. And we just, they backed off for 30 days. And guess what? It was back down around 110.
Yeah.
So it falls relatively quickly once you know what you're dealing with.
Right.
But yeah, that's, I mean, and we have some people taking some pretty high doses of vitamin D. We have people taking, you know, 10, 15, 20,000. I use a vitamin D a day, and we've never had anyone be that high, just the one.
Right.
But the lowest we've seen, on the other hand, we had a young lady in probably 3 months ago. Her vitamin D level was 5.
Didn't you have a referral, another person, and from what I remember, another doctor had someone who had a vitamin D level of 1?
Yes, we're not too certain that that's not lab error.
Yeah.
I'm not really certain on that one.
Because I just kind of remember you being like, I just got this call, and this lady, I'm not sure she should still be living.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not too certain that the lab wasn't, because it wasn't a lab that we use in the office.
Right.
It was a different type of lab.
Yeah.
And so I'm not 100% certain I buy into that
and
one.
And you get a lot of questions from doctors across the country about, okay, I got this strange value. What do I do?
What do I do? You're exactly right. Well, the young lady that had the value of 5, we just checked hers 2 weeks ago, and I sat down with her earlier this last week, and actually it was 3 weeks ago maybe. I'm messed up on dates. I don't know exactly, but I just talked to her earlier this week, and her vitamin D level was up at 70, which is exactly where we want it to be.
Right.
So
I know we need to take a break. I want to say really quick, vitamin D deficiency, it's important because it's correlated with increased risks of developing cancers, autoimmune diseases, hypertension, a number of various infectious diseases. So we're going to get into that when we come back, but we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Wellness 101.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. But this, if you're just tuning into the show today, we're talking about vitamin D. And before we left for the break, Aaron dropped the bombshell on everyone that vitamin D deficiency is correlated with increased risks of cancers, autoimmune disease, hypertension, infectious diseases, and the list goes on and on because vitamin D is that important for human function.
Yes.
And there we go, back to the silence. We had her talking for a moment, and
sorry, I don't know what you wanted. You listed everything.
I left her with nothing to say. So let's talk about what vitamin D is. So vitamin D, like I said at the very beginning, it's one of our fat-soluble vitamins. We have 4 fat-soluble vitamins. This is one of the 4. It's stored in our liver and fatty tissues. So basically what this means is that increased body fat has the ability to absorb vitamin D and keep it from being used in the body, which is why we have obesity and being overweight as a risk factor for actually having low levels of vitamin D, because our fat stores will actually hold on to this vitamin D and not release it to our body. And vitamin D is a little bit different than other vitamins because our body actually makes most of the vitamin D on its own rather than relying on food sources for it. This is provided that we get out in the sun, that we have the other raw materials and things that we need in our body to actually manufacture it. So there's that as well. So the way that our bodies make vitamin D is, and most of you out there know this, we convert sunshine into chemicals that are used by our body. The cholesterol converts this pre-vitamin D and makes it into a usable vitamin D3, which is also, you know, kind of referred to as pro-vitamin D. So pre-vitamin D travels through the kidneys and the liver and the bloodstream, and it's converted into our biologically active substance called calcitriol. So that's just a big fancy word for it. But what's interesting here, and something I want to take just a moment on, is that vitamin D actually becomes a hormone in our body. And it particularly becomes a secosteroid hormone. And that's important because the secosteroid, seco comes from the Latin, I think it's Latin word, secar, which means to cut. So this is, most hormones are six carbon rings. So if we got six little carbons, they're all hooked together in a circle. Vitamin D is actually a circle that's been cut. Now that matters. It just matters in production. So this stuff, it looks like a hormone, it smells like a hormone, it acts like a hormone, but it's a vitamin, okay? So we know that it's a precursor to steroid, and it impacts our skeletal structure, it impacts our blood pressure, it impacts our immune function, our mood, our brain function, and it's very cancer protective. I think I read it's protective against 17 different forms of cancer. I believe, don't hold me to that, but I think that's what it is.
Right. And those are just, that's what research has actually shown. So,
right.
I mean, you know,
right.
common sense would tell us that it would be protective against
way more than that.
Yeah.
Way
most
more
cancers
than that.
At least.
Because research, we know research is for the most part way behind what's actually
going
on.
And certain cancers get a lot more funding for research than others. So,
right. Now, I want to go back just a second, and I want to talk about making vitamin D and converting it. Because everyone that comes into the office, they always make the comment, oh, well, I don't get enough sunshine. Most people understand that getting out and getting sunshine is what helps. But that's not everything. And this is where it gets really interesting. So I'm actually going to connect another condition to vitamin D deficiency, and it has to do with the thyroid, okay? Now, some of you out there may be scratching your heads and be like, oh gosh, where's he going now? So there's this stuff in our skin called melanin. It's the pigment that allows our skin to turn brown and darken for people who are, you know, who can tan. Now, some people don't, like Erin, she doesn't really tan very well. She doesn't have a lot of melanin in her skin.
They can't see me.
Oh, they've seen your picture.
As far as they know, I am a golden brown right now.
Right. Right. Yes, exactly. And if you guys believe that, I have property, oceanfront property in Arizona for you. Erin is almost as transparent as I am. I am relatively white
that's
as well.
Enough.
We went too far, ladies and gentlemen, but we got her talking anyway. So back to melanin. So melanin is the stuff that's a pigment in our skin, but melanin is produced from the amino acid tyrosine. Okay. Tyrosine is something that most of us as humans are very deficient in. And tyrosine is also a critical player in thyroid function. That's part of how we make our thyroid hormone is having tyrosine. So these things all start going together. When we see this, I mean, I've correlated this in my practice. Anybody that comes in and says, I have low vitamin D, or they say, I think my thyroid's not functioning, guess what? I'm checking both, always and forever, because I know that there is one common thing in between them, and that is this amino acid tyrosine. And I know for all of the clinical experience that I have that tyrosine, most people don't get enough. This is part of the reason why we do amino acid IVs in our clinic, because a lot of people are deficient in amino acids. They just don't digest them. Their digestive system doesn't work well enough. They can't break them down. They can't absorb them. They don't get enough from food. And so this is just another one of those threads of how we're all hooked together and we're interconnected throughout all of our health. We can't just say, oh, I just want to fix my vitamin D and that's just all hunky-dory, because, you know, that's fine if we have to supplement you with vitamin D and we get your vitamin D up. But I want to get your body where you can actually manufacture this stuff from the sunlight so you're not absolutely relying on vitamin D all the time.
Right.
That's the objective. You know, I myself know that I don't get out in the sun a lot. I'm sitting here on a nice, beautiful Sunday afternoon inside a radio studio doing this show. And I also work all day, every day. And so.
Right. And so many people are in the same boat.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's very important.
Right. But don't get out very much.
But I also know that my tyrosine level in my body is fine. I know that my thyroid function's fine. I don't have autoimmune because I've already tested all these things. And that's just another thing I don't have to worry about. So anyway, that was a little sidebar there. Sorry, I got off track a little, Erin. Sorry. This is another one of those TJ rants that we don't really have in our little outline. And I just kind of went off on my own.
So do you want to talk about the difference between D2 and D3?
Yes. Would you like to talk about the difference between D2 and D3?
I know, but I'd love to learn about it.
Okay. Fair enough. So the precursor to vitamin D is found in both plant and animal products, but animal-derived products of D3 are thought to be more absorbable and beneficial. So the reason for this is that when we make vitamin D, we can make it basically, when man can make it as a man-made product, we can make it one of two ways. We can make vitamin D2, which is created basically by irradiating yeast and other molds to give us vitamin D2, which is the vegetarian form of vitamin D2. Or we can irradiate animal oils and cholesterol, creating vitamin D3. So the type of vitamin D3 that our body naturally makes is called cholecalciferol, and that is vitamin D3. Now, granted, our body is able to convert some of the D2 to be used for some of our body functions, but it really, really, really prefers to have vitamin D3, and it's able to use that much more effectively. But, you know, we see a lot of foods in this country that are quote-unquote vitamin D fortified foods, and a lot of our dietary supplements, if you look on them, they actually contain ergocalciferol. That's what they call vitamin D2. We're not really able to absorb or convert those into what we need, and so that's one of those things that a lot of people just don't know. That right. When it's vitamin D fortified, doesn't necessarily mean that it actually has a vitamin D that you can use. If it did, it would say vitamin D3 fortified.
Right. How would you possibly know that? Most people would have no way of knowing that. And it's just it's another way that I think we get into this. You know, we have this false sense of security that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. Well, we have this false sense of security that the government agencies are actually going to take care of us and provide for us.
Right.
And that they know better than we do.
And I know that, you know, I mean, we try not to get into these rants here about those things, but because we just want to give you the information so you are better informed and you know, right. You know, you can make informed choices. But it is frustrating, me being someone who does not have, you know, the medical knowledge, you know, I'm a lay person, just like most of you out there listening. And how would I ever know that? That's what's so frustrating to me, is that there are so many people out there who are trying to do the right things. And when it says vitamin D fortified, you assume it is giving you more vitamin D.
I'll take it a step further. If a product that you're consuming states, if it's a food product and it states that it's fortified with anything, you can pretty much guarantee that it's fortified with the cheapest, crappiest version of whatever that vitamin is that they're claiming to put back in.
Right.
Because fortified just means, well, we destroyed what was in there. We're going to put a little bit back.
Right.
So, you know, has
so it's
it
never
helped?
A good way to get
right. Has it helped certain things? Yeah, it has. It's helped. It has helped. You know, eliminate a lot of, you know, diseases associated with the vitamin deficiencies. But we're not about just, you know, preventing the disease associated with the deficiency. We're about trying to be as healthy as we possibly can, operating at optimum health, optimum wellness, and optimum vitality. Not just barely be above getting, you know, berry from a vitamin B deficiency.
Right.
Or scurvy from a vitamin C deficiency.
Yeah.
That's not really what I'm striving for. I'm striving for something a little bit better. And hopefully you, our listeners, are out there striving for a little bit better
as
well.
And there's a lot, there's a big area between scurvy and actually having a normal vitamin C level.
Yes.
I mean, that's
it's massive.
Where, yeah. And that's
it's
where all of the people come in.
It's an ocean of information, or an ocean of difference.
Right. Exactly. And
that.
It is an enormous night and day difference in quality of life.
Right. Like nobody's business. So we talked about vitamin D3 comes from animal products, specifically cholesterol within these products. And that is the closest to what sunlight naturally produces in humans when our skin actually works to convert the UV light from the sun. And I think a lot of people don't realize that we don't absorb vitamin D from the sun. The sun isn't giving it to us. The sun is causing chemical reactions to take place in our skin for our body to actually make it. I just want to clear that up, because sometimes people are a little bit confused on that. But vitamin D3 is believed to convert up to 500 times faster than D2. 500 times.
Yep.
500 times faster. And it's about four times more effective than vitamin D2 is. So it takes a whole lot of vitamin D2 to raise your D levels in a body, as opposed to D3.
So take Take D3.
Take D3. take vitamin D3. Okay, we got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some vitamin D deficiency symptoms and how our bodies actually get vitamin D from the sun. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are talking about vitamin D. If you're just joining us, we've been discussing various aspects of vitamin D, how our body makes it and things like that, and what all is important as far as ingredients for our body to make it. And before we left, I said that we were going to be talking about sunshine and vitamin D deficiency syndrome or symptoms rather, and then how our body gets it. So one thing that strikes me as interesting is a lot of people believe that the best way to get vitamin D is to drink milk or eat fish or take supplements. And that's effective ways to get vitamin D, but direct exposure to the sun is and always will be the best way to absorb vitamin D. We just have to have enough raw materials in our body to get it. And when we live in the northern parts of the world, and, you know, I don't know around the rest of the globe, I'm not that much of a geography buff, but I know in the United States, northern parts of the United States, by several, you know, experts in the field, have defined the line that connects Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix, Arizona. If you kind of draw a line across the country at those levels, they're kind of all roughly on the same latitude. If you live north of that, it's much more difficult to absorb vitamin D. You're going to have a harder time with that. So, you know, that's just kind of important to think about. If you sit out in the sun unexposed, so not having any sunscreen or anything like that, for about 10 minutes, your body absorbs about 10,000 IU, international units of vitamin D, of natural vitamin D. But just remember, from person to person, that's going to be different. If you're darker skin colored, and I don't think the government defined darker skin colored as African Americans, Hispanics, and Asians, I believe, right, in the study that we referred to on that. So darker skin color and being overweight is going to significantly decrease the amount of that you're going to absorb. So if you want to get 10,000 units, you're going to need more and more time in the sun without sunscreen on. And so that's really important. So we talked a little bit before about how our bodies get vitamin D. It's from melanin. And the darker your skin color, the more melanin you have. And this affects how your body actually can produce vitamin D. The lighter skinned, the easier it is for you to make vitamin D. So basically, melanin is just kind of a protective mechanism to protect us from, you know, the harmful damages that being out in the sun can give us. We all have heard about all the things that can, if we get too much sunlight, get sunburned and things like that. And we're definitely not advocating sitting out in the sun and getting burned. That's not what we're talking about here as far as being exposed to the sun. And I mean, I'll be honest, when we talk about exposure to the sun, I've done, thousands of vitamin D levels on people throughout my career. And what I find interesting is I think there's only been a handful of people who have had vitamin D levels at or around 65 to 70 on their own without supplementing. And what's interesting is they all are the same type of person. These were all track and field athletes who wear very little clothing. I mean, those of you who've watched the Olympics, you know that, you know, they wear little shorts, they wear little tops, and a lot of their body, their skin surface is exposed. And these guys train out in the sun 6 to 8 hours a day, or at least they're out in it, especially runners. You know, they're out there in the sun a lot. They're the ones who actually have high enough levels of vitamin D. Your average office worker, you're not going to have high enough levels of vitamin D unless you're supplementing with proper forms of supplementation.
And just to give everyone a little bit of a background, so Dr. TJ, when he first started out, had just finished chiropractic school, was a team chiropractor for the University of Arkansas.
Woo pig.
So we get a lot of track and field athletes. Yeah. They come to us from all over the U.S. I mean, because he had met a lot through his work there and still gets referrals from different people. So
yeah, I still take over a couple of professionals.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, so. But a lot of this, you know, that's why you have a number of track and field athletes.
Right. Yeah, when you're at the University of Arkansas, it's a track and field Olympian breeding ground. We just make excellent athletes there. But anyway, back to vitamin D rather. So, how much sunlight is enough for an average person? So, a lot of experts out there recommend 10 to 15 minutes of direct sunlight without wearing sunscreen if you are fair to medium toned. Now, I don't know the exact definition of what medium toned is. I think we all would have our own ideas, and we'd be generally close in what a medium-toned a skin-toned person would be. If you have dark skin, you're likely going to need more time in the sun to make enough vitamin D since your skin has more protection against the sun's effects. Now, there are experts out there. These same experts are basically recommending that darker-toned people need to spend about 40 minutes to an hour in the sun daily if possible. Now, this is 10 to 15 minutes per day. And most of us don't even come close to that. I mean, we get the, you know, 2 minutes of walking from our car into the building that we work at. And a lot of us, you know, don't even get in the sun at all when we go get in our car that's sitting in our garage at home.
Right. And for those of you who are also in the St. Louis area recently, those 2 minutes that I might spend outside are way more than enough.
Yeah,
it's been kind of miserable.
It's been a bit of an oven around here. That's living in St. Louis. Next week it'll be cold and rainy. It's wonderful. So again, if you live farther from the equator, you're going to need more time in the sun. In the winter, you're going to need a lot more time in the sun, likely doubling it per expert recommendations. So one of the good rules that we tell people, as far as knowing how much time you need to spend out in the sun, is look down at your shadow. So if your shadow that's being cast, and you know, if you're not seeing a shadow, you're really not doing a lot out there. So sorry about that. But if your shadow's being cast, pay attention to it. And if your shadow is shorter than you are, that's the right amount of time frame. That's basically saying that the sun is straight up above you. If your shadow is longer than you are tall, you're likely not getting any effect whatsoever from the sun's rays helping you convert vitamin D in your skin.
You can still get sunburn, though.
You can still get sunburn. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
As someone who can get sunburn in really any condition.
Yes, says the transparent one. Yes, exactly. And I'm the same way. I would get burned very easily as well. You got to be active. And another thing that I've noticed is people who are out in the sun just sitting or just standing are more likely to be burned for whatever reason than people who do the same thing and they get their 15 minutes while they're walking or exercising, something like that. I don't know what it is physiologically. I can't really explain it. But that's just something that I've noticed clinically over the long haul of being in practice, is that if you're out there exercising in that sunlight, you're less likely to be burned. I wish I knew the answer. So if someone is smarter than me knows the answer to that one, shoot me a message and let me know. So the main hours for good sun production for vitamin D, or creation of vitamin D in our skin, is somewhere between 10 and 3. And the rest of the time during the day, it's just not enough. And you know, if you're worried about sunscreen and wearing it, and you know you're afraid of the direct sunlight on your skin, you know, maybe put some on your face, and maybe your hands, but try to keep your extremities exposed. It's really important to have the sun directly on your skin.
Right, and remember, it doesn't take a lot of time, and those of you who are fair are going to not need as long of a time, so
right.
You don't have to be out there a long time without sunscreen, and those of you who have darker skin will need a little bit longer, but you're less likely to burn
right.
in a longer period of time.
And we can use our common sense here. This is Common Sense Science-Based Healthcare Radio. Brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health.
threw that in.
Yeah, just throw that right in. You can build up to this. You know, we're not saying if you've never been out in the sun, go out and just hang out for 15 minutes. Go out for a couple of minutes, and then the next day go out for 3 or 4, and then 5, and then 10 and then get to 15. So, all right, we've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to get into vitamin D deficiency symptoms and causes, and we're likely going to have enough information that we're going to push this to a part two. We're kind of notorious for that now, so we may have a part two to this. So stick around. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, you missed one whale of a show on vitamin D. We've been talking about that lovely vitamin and deficiencies and what it takes to make it and all kinds of stuff. So go back and listen to this on SoundCloud, or you can go on iTunes and check us out. We have podcasts up as well. So before we left, what were we talking about, Aaron? We were talking about
getting vitamin D through the sun and...
Oh, yeah, vitamin D through the sun. Yes, and darker skin needs longer time. Lighter skin needs less time. Be careful. Don't just... If you haven't spent time out in the sun, don't just go out there all willy-nilly and spend a half hour in it. You will get burned. Be smart about it. Use some common sense. So I did say that when we came back that we were going to talk about vitamin D deficiency symptoms and causes and stuff. I don't know how much of this we're going to get through. We've got several pages of notes that we made in preparation for today's show. So we're just going to talk until we run out of time, and then we'll pick this up again next week for part two of vitamin D. It's that important. So I want to repeat again, about 90-ish% of people's vitamin D comes from casual sunlight exposure. I think I said that earlier. If I didn't, I sure thought it and I meant to say it. And we know that, you know, the national average of vitamin D is deficient. Again, another key factor in the reason we're doing this show. So your skin makes vitamin D when it comes into contact with ultraviolet B rays or UVB rays from the sun. And so one of the biggest reasons that we have this just exploding vitamin D deficiency is because of our modern lifestyle. It's mostly indoors. It really contributes to two of the most common causes of vitamin D deficiency. One, lack of sun. And then two, the other one is sunscreen. So the lack of sun. So years ago, people spent a lot more time outdoors, walking, doing errands, you know, going outside, just working outside. It's just different. I mean, kids today, they spend just countless hours inside. They're either playing video games, surfing the internet, you know, doing whatever. Most adults even work indoors. You know, we're a completely different country than we were 100
right.
years
we
ago.
We exercise indoors, which, you yeah. know, is a lot more common than it used to be.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We all go to the gym and we don't get out and do stuff.
And I mean, we have 500 channels on our TV, so there's right. a lot to keep up with.
Right. And if we don't have 500 channels, we're like, what are we missing? We need more channels. I remember being a kid. I spent most of my youth outside. I mean, the only days I was inside during the summer was when it was raining.
Right. And I think there are still kids out there who do that. I think it just, there's a big difference between, you know, I think there are also children who don't hardly get outside at all.
Right.
And you didn't really have much of a choice when you were little. Yeah.
Right.
We were little because there wasn't anything else to do.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't hurt anything. I grew up in a very, very tiny little town
right.
where, you know, we just kind of ran around and did whatever we wanted to do. We were just playing outside all the time, playing baseball, basketball, whatever. So that's a big deal is, you know, the fact that our lifestyle today is just an indoor lifestyle. And, you know, we complain about it being too hot and we complain about it being too cold and we don't get out there and just enjoy it. And, you know, we acclimate, ladies and gentlemen. If you go out and just spend some time outside, and whether it's hot or whether it's cold, your body will acclimate to that and it won't be so intolerable to you. And so, you know, another one is sunscreens. So when we do go out in the sun, for the most part, we are wearing sunscreens almost the entire time. So as the risk for developing skin cancer has risen recently. Doctors really, really encourage the use of sunscreen for kids, adults, and they recommend it even during the winter because, you know, it's possible to get sunburned in the winter. I've never been sunburned in the winter, but I think it is possible.
Well, and it can still contribute to skin cancer, even if you're not getting burned.
That's true. That's true. But what's interesting is that there's some research out there that shows that if you wear just an SPF 8, and I mean, I think most doctors are recommending an SPF 30. If you're just wearing an SPF 8, you decrease your body's ability to make vitamin D by 90%. Think about that for a second. 90% reduction in just SPF 8. So, okay, you could probably still get burned with SPF 8, but I mean,
right.
90% decrease. No wonder we're vitamin D deficient.
Well, and if you choose a sunblock with a higher SPF of like 30, then, which, I mean, that's what I think is normally recommended by doctors.
Right.
You're reducing your body's ability by up to 99%.
99%. I mean, we're just not making vitamin D. If you put sunscreen on and go out in the sun, you're not making any vitamin D.
Right. So, I mean, I think the point here is not that, you know, you should not be wearing sunscreen. There's a reason why sunscreen is recommended. There are, you know, high skin cancer is increasing, but at the same time, it's just something to be aware of. This is the reason why we're deficient in vitamin D. I think, you know, we've talked about it's the same thing that happens with, like we've talked about on here before, with diabetics, when you're put on a medication that lowers your blood sugar, but it kills your kidneys.
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know, I'm not saying which is worse. Well, I don't know. They both are horrible. And so it's kind of that's what we're saying here. So, I mean, we're not saying, oh, wait, you should never wear sunscreen. We're just saying that nothing you do that you're putting on your skin, especially, is without consequences.
Right.
It's going to affect something else, and what it's affecting here is vitamin D.
Right. And, you know, if you're going to choose to do that, you definitely are going to have to make sure you're taking a high-quality vitamin D supplement. You know, I want to talk just briefly. We don't have a lot of time, but let's just rattle off symptoms from vitamin D deficiency. This is going to kind of be a prelude to part two of this show. If you don't have enough vitamin D, you're more likely to have osteoporosis. You're more likely to have heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, autoimmune diseases, depression, insomnia, arthritis, diabetes, asthma, multiple sclerosis, chronic pain, psoriasis, fibromyalgia, autism, and the list just keeps on going. We'll stop there because that's pretty much everybody in the country has something to do with that.
Right. And I think we did a post on this on Facebook not long ago that low vitamin D levels, if not, we may not have posted it yet, low vitamin D levels during pregnancy are correlated with autism.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's being connected and correlated with autism. It's kind of an interesting field of research right now. For those of you who are not up on that, yeah, autism is getting a lot of research.
Because the rates are skyrocketing.
And we've got to figure out why that's happening. And I don't really have any answers. I just know that it's happening. And, you know,
But it's showing.
This just goes back to show back at the beginning. I'm getting amped up a little bit. It's all about optimizing health. It's not about just what do we have to do to not get a disease associated with vitamin D deficiency. You know, we're not trying, you know, this isn't just enough to not have rickets. This is, you know, getting enough vitamin D to actually function and get the health benefits. I mean, the research is pretty clear. Vitamin D, to get the health benefits from vitamin D levels need to be about 65 or a little higher. That's just where it is. And so there's a lot of you know, groups out there. There's what's the vitamin D? Maybe it's the vitamin D. What is the email that I get from Vitamin D all the time? The Vitamin D Research Foundation, Vitamin D Society, something like that. There's a lot of things out there that you can join and get newsletters on, you know, key research that's going on. That's where we get a lot of this stuff is just, you know, I get an email that says, hey, here's a new research article on this. And you, the public out there, you can get on these email lists too and get this information just like we do.
Or Dr. T.J. will read them, and then he'll...
Or I'll read them and tell you about it. Yeah, I can just read it and tell you about it. Because, you know, you take away my reading, and I don't know if I'll be able to handle it. So, anyway, that's about all the time we have for today. Go online, visit us, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Call us, 314-293-8123. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We're posting stuff all the time. If you live in the St. Louis area, pay attention. We have deals and things and specials going on all the time. That's about all we have for today. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.